This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we will begin today with the GOP health care bill, which is still in limbo after a meeting this afternoon between President Donald Trump and conservative House members. Here's White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer.
The president's plan is to pass the bill tonight, get it onto the Senate, and then sign a bill once it goes through conference. That's the president's plan, and that's what the president's been, fighting for it. That's why the president's been trying to make it stronger and stronger every day.
Well, in Massachusetts, Governor Charlie Baker has estimated that the state could lose $1 billion in federal reimbursements beginning in 2020 if the Republican health reform bill does pass. Here's Baker on Tuesday.
I think our hope and our expectation is that the issues that are raised not just by people here in Massachusetts, but by people in other states who have similar concerns can help affect the nature of the debate and the discussion.
Well, joining us now to talk about the potential effects of the GOP health care bill on Massachusetts is Boston Globe reporter Joshua Miller. Josh, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
So that piece of tape there made Charlie Baker sound his normal sort of even-keeled self, but he is kind of sounding the alarm here, isn't he? He wrote a letter to Congress about the potential losses that the state could face. What did he say in that letter?
Yeah, he said several things. It was in his usual sort of wonkish bureaucratese, but it was pretty stark what he and his administration have said. They sort of put the negative effects that the Republican health care bill could have on Massachusetts into several buckets. It could knock a lot of poor people off their health insurance and then a lot of other residents off their health insurance as well. It could blow a big hole in the state budget, and it could hurt hospitals here, among other factors.
And how
the top line.
Oh, sorry, Josh. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to ask, so that top line, how much of a hole in the state budget could it create?
So they estimate that over the next couple of years, Massachusetts could lose between $1.1 and $1.9 billion, that's with a B, of federal revenue for MassHealth. And that's what Massachusetts calls its Medicaid effort, the joint state health, state-federal health insurance program for the poor and disabled. And to put that in context, $2 billion is a huge hole in what's usually about a $40 billion a year state budget. And that could force lawmakers to either reduce coverage or benefits for poor people who seek health care, or it could force them to axe other parts of the budget, like transportation or education or law enforcement. So it's a real threat.
Yeah, there could be a domino effect here across the state budget.
Correct.
I'm hearing you say. Well, we have a little bit more tape from Governor Baker on Tuesday, and he was asked again what might happen if the GOP health reform bill does pass. Here he is.
I think the goal for us and for others is going to be to work like mad to make sure that the Commonwealth of Mass can continue to do what we've been doing, which is providing coverage to 97% of our population.
Well, he would have to work at doing that with all that money not being forthcoming from the government. I mean, Josh, how many people could lose their Mass health insurance if this bill does pass?
So under current estimates from Mary Lou Sutters, who's Baker's health chief, the Health and Human Services Secretary for Massachusetts, she says about 300,000 people who are on MassHealth currently could be at risk of losing coverage. And then 195,000, so about 200,000 more people who get insurance through the Massachusetts Health Connector, that's that website and program where people in the individual market can go and get health insurance, could be at risk of losing subsidies that help them pay for insurance, which in turn could mean they lose their insurance too. And that in turn could sort of create this spiral effect, which he alluded to in that clip, where it could threaten the sort of first in the nation Massachusetts promise of universal health care that was signed into law famously at Faneuil Hall by Mitt Romney with Teddy Kennedy at his side. The governor in his letter to the Massachusetts congressional delegation offered a warning. He said that the Republican health care bill in Washington could, quote, increasingly strain the fiscal resources necessary to support the Commonwealth's continued commitment to universal health care coverage.
So if I've got the numbers right, though, from what you said, Josh, we're looking at overall possibly at least 500,000 Massachusetts residents at risk of losing their insurance.
At least 500,000 residents. And the CBO, the Independent Congressional Budget Office, which scores or guesses the impact of federal legislation, said it could also affect millions of people on the private employer market. People like me who get my health insurance through my employer could affect them. And the Health and Human Services Secretary here in Massachusetts said that some of those people could be in Massachusetts.
Now, you were mentioning a little bit earlier that hospitals in Massachusetts could face some major challenges or impact from this bill. What about them?
So without getting into any of the nitty-gritty Medicaid terms, hospitals that see a disproportionate number of the state's poorest patients get an extra payment. All across the country, hospitals that see a disproportionate number of sort of the poorest people who are on Medicaid get extra money. And in Massachusetts, under the GOP health bill, a lot of those hospitals could see their funding cut. And to give an example, one of those hospitals that receives that extra money is Boston Medical Center in downtown Boston. So sort of hospitals that take patients who can't pay could see a chunk of money that they get regularly not come in anymore, and that could put a real strain on their finances as well.
Hmm. Now, you've been also reporting on how this federal bill, this GOP reform proposal, could also get rid of grants to the Department of Public Health. How would that have an impact here?
I think it's about $18 million a year that the Department of Public Health gets for everything from domestic violence prevention to stopping the spread of this, that, or the other disease. And those monies over the next few years, as if this bill passes in Congress and becomes law, over the next few years could slowly fade away. And that could be another hole that Massachusetts tries to fill from its budget. But there's a limited amount of money, and that could prove really difficult for lawmakers and force them to make a lot more difficult choices than they have in the past. A lot of, over the course of the last 10-plus years, a lot of the ability of Massachusetts to make sure that 97% of people here are covered is with the help of the federal government. And if the help of the federal government is reduced, that puts people here up on Beacon Hill in a real bind.
Hmm. Now, Josh, as you know and you've been reporting, Massachusetts is already struggling to contain. The state is working hard to contain health care costs here. Spending on mass health has doubled since, 2007. That's one of the reasons why some folks, such as the Pioneer Institute's Joshua Archambault, has said that maybe these cuts in Medicaid, federal Medicaid dollars might actually force the state to make needed changes.
I suppose that's possible as well. But if what comes to pass, I mean, it's all a matter of priorities, right? There's definitely ways to slim things down. Whether the state could still have a individual mandate that mandates that everyone have some kind of health insurance and helps folks who are not, don't make enough money to purchase it themselves, you know, that sort of gets into balance and it becomes an issue of priorities. So I think that's TBD, but I'm sure that one Republican who's hoping that all this craziness on Capitol Hill results in this bill not passing is Governor Charlie Baker.
Well, Joshua Miller is a reporter for the Boston Globe, talking to us about health, about impacts here in Massachusetts if the Republican health reform bill does pass. We'll have a link to his reporting at our website, radioboston.org. Josh, thanks as always.
Great to be with you.
Well, let's turn back to Washington, because lots of last-minute wheeling and dealing before today's scheduled vote this afternoon. The Freedom Caucus is proposing removing, quote, essential health benefits such as maternity care and prescription drug coverage. And that proposal has enraged Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern.
Are Republicans seriously contemplating making a change this massive without hearings, without a markup, no CBO estimate of the impact? No chance to read the bill? I've seen a lot in my years here, but this is truly unbelievable. You guys take my breath away.
On the other hand, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer said today that the Trump administration is optimistic that the Republican health reform bill will pass.
We've got to make sure that we don't, that this balancing act, and you've got to now make sure that certain people don't fall off the end as you pick up certain people. And so we're keeping that vote total rather tight right now, but I feel very buoyed by the direction that we're headed in.
However, that optimism isn't widely shared, because despite the frenzied negotiation going on right now, the Freedom Caucus has also indicated that its members could vote down the Republican health reform plan. Remember, the Freedom Caucus is made up of conservative House GOP members. But again, negotiator revisions to the bill might change that. So let's turn now to another member of the Massachusetts congressional delegation, Representative Catherine Clark. She represents the 5th District, and she joins us from Washington. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first of all, I mean, you're there in the House. Do you have any sense that the Republican health reform plan has enough votes to pass? All reporting seems to say that it may not.
At this time, we don't think they have the votes, and they are scrambling to make this work. But what we're seeing is them moving on the wrong direction for Americans. Instead of making this bill better, they are continuing to look today to do further cuts, and we think the damage they've already done is quite enough when 24 million Americans are looking at losing their health care under this proposal.
Yeah, according to the Congressional Budget Office. I mean, it's interesting that ever since this health reform plan was proposed, there's been a lot of vocal opposition from the left, where you are, and the far right as well. Again, the vote's going to happen. We don't yet know exactly what's going to happen. But just say, hypothetically, that this bill does not pass, it absolutely does not mean that Republican efforts to reform health care will end. So what's next for you and Democrats in terms of protecting the Affordable Care Act as it stands?
I hope that if they do not get the votes for this bill, that they will go back to having a process that actually involves public hearings, that is not picking an arbitrary deadline like they have today to force this bill over the line, that we have a chance to see what they're proposing, get a up-to-date cost information, and be able to have a dialogue with how to improve on the gains that the Affordable Care Act has made for health care coverage in this country and move forward together. But this feels very much like a political, ideological check the box.
Well, so let me just jump in here, Representative, if I may, because the Freedom Caucus in the House, these are very right-wing representatives in the House, they've come out and said they don't like this bill at all. They'll probably vote against it. I'm just wondering if there is the possibility that if this iteration of Republican health reform doesn't pass, are you concerned that the next iteration might be just a full-blown repealing of Obamacare? Full stop.
It might be. And I think that they will run into the same response that they are seeing at home and in their local town halls and the calls from constituents. I mean, today, in response to the Freedom Caucus, they are talking about stripping out the protections for essential health benefits. And what does that mean? That means that health plans will no longer be required to cover hospitalization, maternity care, mental health and substance use disorder services.
But as you know, the countervailing logic there, though, and that we hear from conservatives is that people should be able to buy a kind of health care or health insurance that is tailored to their needs.
Tailored to their needs does not mean that you don't cover the basics, the very basics like hospitalization. You can have very inexpensive health insurance that is not going to help you if you have some sort of major medical event happen. And that is what we saw. That was the impetus of the ACA. So when we are looking at moving the other way, making this even worse than the original proposal, they're moving against their constituents in a wild chase of political ideology from the far right.
Well, so let's talk about the potential impact on constituents right here in Massachusetts for a second. Because, you know, if the Republican reform plan does pass, Governor Baker, as you know, this week has been saying loud and clear that the plan could cost the state of Massachusetts $1 billion by 2020. And it could have an impact on Massachusetts, nation-leading health reform plan. How do you and the rest of the delegation plan to work with the governor if indeed this bill does pass?
Oh, we are going to have to continue to work together to do everything we can to make sure that back home in the Commonwealth that we are protecting the gains that we've made. And we have been a leader, and we will have some protections for people that may not exist in other states. But to take $1 billion out of the money we receive from the federal government out of our healthcare system will be devastating. And when you look at Medicaid as one example, Medicaid has become far more than help for low-income people. If you look at the rise of Alzheimer's and how Medicaid has really become the way that many middle-class families in the Commonwealth keep their elderly parents and loved ones in nursing homes so they can have the care that they need, this is going to have a tremendous effect back home.
Well, if we can just move away from healthcare for just one second while I've got you, Representative, I want to ask you about something that one of your colleagues in the House said just yesterday. This has to do with House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes of California. He said yesterday that members of Donald Trump's transition team were under incidental or inadvertent surveillance after the election. Here's the tape of what Devin Nunes actually said.
I recently confirmed that on numerous occasions, the intelligence community incidentally collected information about U.S. citizens involved in the Trump transition. details about U.S. persons associated with the incoming administration, details with little or no apparent foreign intelligence value, were widely disseminated in intelligence community reporting.
We've just got a couple seconds, Representative Clark. What do you make of this latest event in the ongoing saga of Russia's interference in the election?
The whole event is unbelievable. And this latest, when you have the chairman of the Intelligence Committee running to the White House while he and sharing information with them while he is the one who is supposed to be leading the investigation of this White House and their campaign is just outrageous. And, you know, whether he is improperly making classified information public or just being a White House whisperer, time is going to tell. But this is beyond irregular behavior on his part. And I certainly join with my colleagues, including Senator McCain and other ranking Republicans who are saying this is the last straw. We need absolutely to have an independent commission looking at these allegations and conducting independent investigation.
Well, Catherine Clark represents Massachusetts' 5th District. Representative Clark, thanks as always.
Thank you.
And remember, you can always tell us what you think about anything that's going on here in Massachusetts or Washington. We know there's a lot. So send us some tweets at Radio Boston or go to our website, radioboston.org, and let us know your thoughts on healthcare, your thoughts on Russia, your thoughts on the way forward with the Trump administration. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.